Madam Clerk, let's take a look at the agenda. Any changes to the agenda? Pretty straightforward. Hearing none, the agenda is approved as presented. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Spropoulos, would you lead us in the pledge, please, since you're standing?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're at audience participation. Do we have a sign up, Madam Clerk? We do. Eugene Haberman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I live in the Massena Valley. I follow the public process. The public process done appropriately, decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. First, I would like to point out, I don't doubt there are members of the borough who are involved and try to do good things to help people in the community in this crisis. But my comments are concerned with the lack of transparency. When that earthquake happened, approximately 8:29, Alaska time, we were in dark. The sun wasn't up. But for the next several days, the public was still in the dark in the Matsu Borough. Over 100,000 people live here. What do we know about what's going on next door, a mile away? The administration, the borough, failed to do what the municipality of Anchorage did by regularly holding mics, telling the public the status of the situation, where it's going. But what was most important, it was creating a sense of more calm. This unknown situation that was caused by the borough by not letting the public know what's going on, and maybe, yes, there were things happening, but the lack of information, the total lack of information that occurred for several days until when? 5 o'clock yesterday in this room, where there was a press conference to say what was being done. Several days, the public, Matsu Borough, said, what's going on? What situation are we in? We know we have a situation, but the failure for the borough to announce and say what's going on created a situation that made people more uncomfortable, the unknown. Ms. Powell of Anchorage did not do that. And I'm not saying they're perfect, we're going to all make mistakes, but they didn't make a good effort to try to keep things where the public was more calm because they were informing the public what the situation was. But over 100,000 people in our state were put in darkness. Even though there was sun that came up a few hours later, that Friday, we were kept in darkness. And some of the information came out when? 5 o'clock at a press conference in this room. So I'll speak more later on what's for public hearing tonight. I mean, in it shortly, not tonight, this afternoon. We're still an afternoon thing, so I don't want to go off topic here. But respect is, look what we got. Are we connecting with the people appropriately? Do they have a fair chance to address and come to you and say what they think? Remind them what this meeting is going on right now at 2 o'clock. A good part of the people who live in the valley are earning the bread and butter, and they're in Anchorage right now. Can they get back? Road connections are not that great, are they? So it's more complicated. I am glad the assembly members are here, but the most important, you need to hear from the people, and they're not here in this room. Thank you very much, and that closed my comment.
Assembly Member Leonard, are you still with us? Assembly Member Leonard, are you
still with us? Yes, I am here.
Okay, good. We thought we lost you. Glad to hear that. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else wish to speak on audience participation? That was all we had in the sign-up list, so okay. So we'll close audience participation at this point in time. And for Assembly Members, you should have two handouts from Mr. Moosey. One on various reserve fund balances and one on, solid waste enterprise fund. Otherwise, we'll go right. There's 10 various reserves, too. So let's go right to public hearing. Madam Clerk, 18112.
An emergency ordinance reappropriating $5,817,599.49 from school bond interest income project fund 65002-5300 and $2,302,157,000 from School Site Acquisition Reserve Fund 100262960 to Earthquake 2018 Schools Emergency Response Fund, Project 55026, $6,095,473 from the reserve match for paving and calcium chloride fund 1026290 due to earthquake 2018 borough facilities and infrastructure emergency response fund project number 55027 with accompanying resolution 1879, an emergency resolution declaring that the local disaster emergency issued on November 30th, 2018 will remain in effect until January 15th, 2019. With accompanying resolution 1880, an emergency resolution providing a waiver of individual landfill fees.
Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. I will open the public hearing at this time. We have one sign up, Eugene Haberman.
Carl Haberman, I represent myself. I follow the public process. Public process done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body is more like the public interest. I live in the Metzinger Valley. Now, let's what we have here. At 6:15 this morning, I took a photo shot. Agenda is different from what it is. But most important, the documents that you have here for public hearing wasn't available to the public or you, at least on that website, the borough website. So now you're holding a public hearing. Normally, you introduce a public hearing at one meeting. Later meeting, you have a public hearing. But you set the situation up as, where's the public? I'm the only one here, at least I could see from the public. Everyone else is maybe a contractor and staff. They're not here, and you're going to make a decision for them without connecting with them appropriately. This is a setup. Now, I couldn't help but notice one thing, too. 18-112, it says, whereas the borough manager and the mayor of municipality have declared a disaster emergency per se. Well, let's put the record straight here. The document I saw on that signing was not the mayor, it was the deputy mayor. The deputy mayor signed that thing, not the mayor. Now, I'm not questioning the deputy mayor signing it, but you've got this document saying the mayor signed it. The mayor did not sign it. The deputy mayor, Beck, who's not at the meeting right now. Hope he's online to connect with what's going on. So you're moving funds around. That's what this basically is about, to deal with the emergency. You kept the public in dark of what's going on, and now all of a sudden you're moving this way. The more complicated an issue is, the more noise, the more opportunity the public heard. But when you have an emergency, and there we've had them, it's not business as usual, yes. You drop the things like having a planning commission last night in this room dealing with air quality, which you didn't, and you deal with emergency. What concerns the people in our community, in our state, is what's happened to our property. Is it safe out there? All those questions are in the minds right now among all of us. And are we going to hit another tremor? Is it going to be worse? I'm keeping my car outside the garage. At least I have something to go into in case something happens. That's what's on, how do we prepare for this situation? And most important, the press, in case of the Valley, didn't do their job to keep the public informed. I credit KTVA and others, they did a pretty good job. And seeing the images of press, I want to make a note here, working around a mess, they stayed at their desks, worked, and got the message out to the people, but particularly Anchorage, where the people in the Valley did not know, but they heard about what's going on in Anchorage, and we were in the dark of what's going on in the Valley, and we still are. So you're going to be making decisions tonight, and I'll close with this, this afternoon, because it's a rare. And okay, I question all that. Any questions?
No questions, thank you.
You speak for them?
Speak for them, thank you.
Jesse, you don't have any questions? Okay.
Mr. Spropolis, how does a special meeting come to be legally? What's the time strings?
Mr. Mayor, per Alaska Statute 292160, the Assembly can call an emergency meeting immediately if all members are present or if they've waived their presence in writing. The Assembly can call an emergency meeting, or the Mayor, that is, can call an emergency meeting in 24 hours notice is attempted to be given to all members. And I understand through the clerk that all members were personally informed. Mr. Beck is traveling and waived his appearance. The immediate meeting would require that waiver in writing. but because this meeting was scheduled before noon yesterday, the 24-hour rule kicks in.
So it's a 24-hour rule?
It's 24-hour.
And it was met.
The same thing applies to emergency ordinances. Emergency ordinances do not need introduction by state law, 2925030. They're effective upon adoption. The caveat is they only last for 60 days. So there is a procedure in state law for both of the things we're doing today. One other thing I'd like to mention, Mr. Mayor, I would encourage the Assembly to vote on the items that are before you separately. I know they were advertised and put together as per our normal procedure that they're all attached, but if you could do separate votes on each one of them, there's a legality involved with the emergency situation.
So the ordinance and the two resolutions all separate?
If you could do them separately.
Everybody understand that? We'll do a division then. Okay. And then on the deputy mayor signing, I spoke to Mr. Moosey, I think it was about 9 o'clock Friday morning, about doing a decoration. Mr. Moosey got it ready, and the deputy mayor was kind enough to run over and sign it in my absence and save me a big trip, but I certainly was involved in talking to Mr. Moosey about doing the decoration early on in Friday morning. So, okay. Anybody else? Yes, that's all our sign-out on the public hearing. So anybody else want to speak on the ordinance, the two resolutions, and we're going to vote on them divided and discuss them divided. If not, I'll close the public hearing at this time. Assemblyman Mayfield, could you move those?
Yes.
Let's do the ordinance first, and then we'll take them one at a time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move to adopt ordinance number 18-112.
Thank you. Who wants to open up? Senator members? Any discussion on Senator Sykes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like clarification on how we came to and what the justification is for the number that we are approving to move in funds. I note that the $6,095,473 entirely wipes out the reserve fund from road license fees, and I just want to know why we think that all of those funds are needed, and if that's an appropriate thing to do at this time. There may be good reasons, but I noted that this was we tried to move these funds at our last regular meeting also, so this looks like it's a really ripe target.
Mr. Moosey?
Thank you. So first off, I'd like to say with this ordinance and resolutions, this is a start. We think, in fact, I know we're going to have to be coming back for additional funding, but we're trying to move quickly on this. We have not had immediate expenses that we can't handle right now because most of our work has been inspections, making sure our facilities are safe or the conditions in our facilities. So I think this is going to be the minimum. We're going to need more funds for this. So, and at this point in time, it's really too early because we've done inspections, what is safe and what is not safe. We're gonna need some professional help, such as engineers, that sort of thing, to come in and determine. I know we're talking about schools in this issue. We know that, for example, Houston Middle School is in serious shape. But there's been no determination at this time on what we do about that. Is it just a repair? Is it a brand new school? We don't know. But we're asking for those funds. Now, I think in here, if you maybe a suggestion for you, because I know you don't want to throw anything in here more than we need to, Mr. Sykes. But if you would, if that's a concern, if you want to do an amendment that says the money is money is moved in there, and what is not spent during this emergency or necessary for this is moved back to the original fund that it came from. And the legislation already says that. So Lonnie already took care of this for me. So if we have $6 million, if we already spend $3 million, it goes back in there automatically when we're done. So I think that's some protection for you.
I'd just like to follow up on that. I still didn't understand how you determine this amount of money was needed. I know you don't know all the costs, I get that, but I just want to know what process you went through to determine that you want to ask for this much money.
So I have met with staff. Staff has been reviewing those. They're using their expertise to give me information. We have contacted have professionals out involved. So that's where my information is coming from and why I am recommending this level.
Thank you.
Mr. Woodson, could you tell them a little bit about our insurance with this joint with the school district and what it will be used for?
So we met, the insurance company has been up here. They met with the school system this morning, and we've had staff available and met with them. We met just, I believe it was at noon today. We have $25 million in earthquake insurance plus deductibles, and there's like a 5% deductible on our facilities. One thing to note is that insurance companies do not insure our roads. So roads and bridges, those type of infrastructure, there's not insurance available for those. So it's mostly, the insurance is gonna go for facilities. And so when it comes down to not having, that's a good point, not having insurance coverage for roads, we're gonna need some, you know, some dollars to repair. As far as future funding, we are going to be applying to FEMA. We are going to be making requests to DOT further help for both facilities and roads. If we could get away with only spending this money, it would be a miracle. Because I anticipate it's going to be much longer and more expensive than what we have here. But I wanted to get something there and then have other meetings that come back to the assembly saying, this is where we are at this point. I think we have a meeting next Tuesday. We may have more information. We may bring something back to you with some more information that would adjust this. That's my plan.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to Sumner, then Sumner McKee.
Through the mayor to the manager, have we received FEMA money for the Sockeye fire as of yet?
So that is a good point. My finance person is not here, but I can tell you the 2012 flooding, we've received some funds, but we still have funds owed to us. So that is a good point. If we got approved for everything we wanted, we're probably not seeing dollars for a couple years back from FEMA. It's just a process, and this is just what happens with the federal agency. The money we anticipate will come if it's eligible. It's just going to take a bit of time.
And there was two or three FEMA personnel with the senators yesterday that actually looked at Vine and looked at the school, so that's mm-hmm. that's a positive.
Direct FEMA aid, that's capped at 75% of in best
case. They said it's not going to be 100%, is what they told us point blank, so I don't know what the cap is.
So even if we're reimbursed, we're going to be out this money for an extended period of time, effectively.
That's a fair statement, yes.
Okay, Senator McKee.
I just need him to explain to me what we're doing here, okay? We're establishing a reserve. This money is not going to be spent unless they come back and tell us how it's going to be spent on identified projects, correct?
No, sir, that is not correct. What we're doing is taking a reserve and putting in an emergency so we can make the expenditures that we need.
So there's, hold on. So there, we don't have a clue how we're going to spend this money that we're coming up right now.
Yes, we do. You know, we could have Mr. Dolan talk about buying and things like that. So.
I want him to. I want to know what we're going to do with this money.
Mr. Moosey, you want
to? So, Luke, do you mind if we bug you? We're going to bug you second. Mr. Dolan, especially in, let's talk about Vine and how some of those funds will be spent. Yes.
Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works, through the mayor. Right now, we're spending money on dealing with immediate hazards to the public and making temporary repairs to roadways. On Vine, we expect the cost of temporary repair to be about $194,000. We also have committed to approximately $100,000 of maintenance in Big Lake and an additional approximately $100,000 of maintenance, temporary repairs in Road Service Area 17, which is in the southwest of the borough in the vicinity of Point Mac and the KGB corridor. That's about all I've committed to so far.
And Hawk Lane is still would be?
So Hawk Lane is a City of Houston maintained roadway. Although the borough built it as a bond project, we do not maintain it.
So no cost, no cost there?
Well, there certainly will be to the City of Houston if they want to repair it. There's also DOT roads all over the borough that the state will be paying to repair. But those ones that I named there are the ones that we know right now we need a repair and their approximate costs for temporary repairs.
Mr. McKee, go ahead.
So we know that we're going to be spending right now about $400,000, correct?
Yes, just on temporary repairs.
On temporary repairs?
Yes.
Why are we doing anything for the rest of it? We could give you the $400,000. Why do you need the rest?
Mr. Boosie?
So we have numerous situations. I think, you know, and it did not help that we had a snow right after this event to cover up. So we're going to discover more and more, I think, road issues. And this is temporary. I don't think, in fact, we're not recommending that we just temporarily fix or do what we can to keep it safe at Vine Road. But the Vine Road needs to be rebuilt. I have gotten an estimation just on Vine Road, that's going to be about $3.5 million. We will apply for other funding, FEMA funding, and we will talk to DOT about an opportunity for that. But almost in all cases, we have to spend, have to be eligible, and then those dollars are reimbursed. And I'm going to tell you, when we do this, it's no guarantee. Like, if you gave me a authority today to spend the $3.5 million on the Vine Road issue, I'm going to do my darndest to apply, but there's no guarantee we're going to get FEMA funding. I think there's a good possibility, but I'm not going to ask you to do this that guaranteeing we're going to get refunded, but we need. These are infrastructure report things that we believe we need to correct and fix.
I'd like to ask the manager, look, Mr. I asked what we knew we were going to spend it on right now. Mr. Dolan was very clear, okay? He took care of $400,000. Okay, why are we, no one has come up and said, no, now we need another $5 million and we're going to spend it here. Okay? You're saying give you a blank check, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So what I am saying is have the funding available. If something happens tomorrow, I mean, we're still having tremors tomorrow, and we have some serious issues, we can take advantage of it. I'm going to tell you, as a manager, we're not going to waste the money and spend it willy-nilly. It is for to repair our services to our public. It will be used, you know, I'm accountable to you anyways. We report to you on how we spend the funds. So this is not a three for all, let's take advantage of this. This is let's get our facilities in operation back. And this is day number five. There are limited folks that we can bring in to go through, and we're gonna be discovering stuff, you know, probably for the next 2 or 3 weeks. On this, and this is have these emergency funds available. I think it's going to be much greater than this overall. We have this, we have some buildings that we're not sure about, with the Big Lake Library, we have the Palmer Pool, and then also too, today we heard that we have the ice skating rink that's closed until we can go and bring somebody examine. It may be a little bit, it may be a lot. But, you know, I'm fully dedicated to kind of keep you informed, and we will not waste these funds or just spend them to spend them, sir.
Okay. I've got a Senator member, Sumner first, then you, but Mr. Spraplis, tell us about voting on these various issues right now, please, so everybody gets clear on that.
Mr. Mayor, the state law, the same state law that allows you to adopt an emergency ordinance, says that the affirmative vote of all members present or the affirmative vote of 3/4 of the total membership is required. And for us, that's 6 votes either way. Okay. Because there's 6 members present, and that is 3/4
special
vote.
Thing.
Because so, it's an emergency ordinance.
Now, Summer.
Through the mayor to the manager, are we more or less likely to receive FEMA reimbursal if we spend this money through, or for instance, fix Vine Road through an emergency fund, as opposed to doing temporary repairs and then later down the line repairing Vine Road?
So that is a good question. I'm going to have Terry Dolan, Director Dolan, address that, because he had a question, because we want to move quickly, and then Terry did some due diligence before we move forward. So Terry, can you explain your experience to Assemblymember Sumner?
So we spoke with the FEMA rep and the State Department of Homeland Security folks that do this emergency management work. And in general terms, they'll pay for temporary repairs, FEMA will, as well as dealing with immediate hazards to the public, which I think everybody agrees Vine is one of those. There are caveats to that that we have to comply with. And so we're working through that. We just came out of a teleconference with our Department of Homeland Security folks just a few minutes before this meeting, and we're working to ensure that we're in compliance with the FEMA requirements to obtain reimbursement on those things.
Okay, Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to speak in favor of the ordinance. Since the earthquake fault zone was in my district, and it seems to have impacted the most roads within my district, and then Houston Middle School in District 7, I took the opportunity to go out and visit most of these sites. And honestly, I don't see how we can calculate that we're going to be able to complete full repair on the roads for $6 million. And neither do I feel like we will be able to complete all the repairs to schools for the amount of money that we're allocating here, which is approximately $8.3 million. I just really feel we're going to be short. And even if we are not, for some reason, the ordinance does allow for the unspent money in these funds to be return back to the original funds. So there's some assurances here that we're going to use that money wisely on this emergency, and I think it's appropriate that we do so. Thank you.
Senator Leonard, any comments or questions?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Senator Sykes?
I'd still like to hear from Assistant Superintendent Fulp.
Would you come forward and give us a rundown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Manager Moosey, and members of the Assembly. Luke Fulp, Assistant Superintendent of Business and Operations for the Matsu Borough School District. Just in terms of kind of where we're at with the process of evaluating school sites and any structural damage that may have taken place, we are beginning that process today. So we don't have answers for the Assembly as to how extensive the damage is or the total cost of the loss that we sustained. What we do know is what Manager Moosey shared earlier. We go out to market together with the borough. That's one of the ways that we consolidate services and save the borough money, is that we do shared placement for our insurance. And in that area, property insurance, we have quake and earth movement, and we have $25 million that can be shared amongst the two government agencies. What we know in terms of that policy is that for each structure that accesses those funds, there's a deductible of 5% of the value of that structure. So in order for us to access those funds for Houston Middle School, we have to pay upfront out of pocket $1.5 million. Currently, what we've done as we prepare for operations, and we're looking to open schools to staff tomorrow, we'll have about 33 schools open, including the Northern Valley and core area schools that we deem that are safe and ready to be reoccupied. Staff will enter those facilities tomorrow. What we've done on our end internally is visual inspections by our maintenance crew, and we've gone through and identified any cracks or fissures or structural concerns, and then we've brought in engineers from PND, a local engineering firm here, to do further structural assessments. And currently, what we're looking at is, in terms of the schools that we have concerns, major structural concerns are Colony High School, specifically their gym area. Colony Middle School had extensive damage. The majority of that was ceiling and grid and tile work in their second floor, but we understand that there may be some structural concerns. We're gonna look into that further. Finger Lake Elementary, Houston High School, Kinnick Elementary. For all of those schools, if we're looking at just accessing the policy for those schools and any damage that may have been sustained there, it's for the deductible to access the policy would be $11.5 million. So it looks like about $8.1 million is being freed up through this resolution for us to access funds. Those could easily be utilized right there with the deductibles that we would have to pay. It's likely that we will not access the policy for all of those schools mentioned. The reason why I state that is because based on our initial assessments, it doesn't look like the damage is as severe as it is at Houston Middle School, for instance, but I just wanna kind of put it out there as precaution. We don't know what we don't know because those evaluations are happening today with the adjusters, the structural engineers, and the cost estimators for Excel, our insurance carrier. And then in terms of other funds that we're looking at accessing for the school district that we did not have planned and we did not have budgeted, we are looking at not being able to reoccupy Houston Middle School for the remainder of the school year and very, very likely next school year as well. So we have to figure out a way to accommodate that student population at Houston High School. And one of the plans that our superintendent has right now that we're evaluating with our Office of Instruction is essentially returning to a junior-senior high school, which is what Houston schools were in the past, the secondary schools. And it's the same model that we currently utilize for Reddington Junior-Senior High School. We've had success with that model. And the idea is that we would bring in portables to be staged and located, co-located on the campus with Houston High School. And students would all be located there for at least the remainder of this year. We are working closely with Capital Projects Department. We would need their support and assistance with that project, but again, those would be funds that hopefully we would be able to access through funds made available through this resolution. Separate of all of this, we are currently looking to access FEMA funds. We're working with the Emergency Services Department, and we've got set up entering information into the Orion system so that all of our schools and where we sustain damage, we have those applications essentially already started. That's the extent of it. We appreciate the support the borough is providing, and we just want to work closely with you going forward.
And do you have reserves yourself through the school besides?
Yes, we do. We are, as a part of the borough's efforts last year to allow the school district to retain 100% of its unassigned fund balance, we grew our fund balance from about $7 million to $10 million. So we do have funds available for emergency purposes. And that's one of the benefits of a fund balance and having reserves available. And so in terms of the ability to access those funds, we would, for instance, we in cash flow, we would access those funds initially, and then we would look to other resources that may be available, whether it's FEMA, whether it's the bond projects that have been reassigned to support this effort. We would maybe do that on a reimbursement basis.
Senator Sumner.
Through the mayor to the manager, I just wanted to revisit what Mr. Dolan was saying. Obviously, Vine Road needs to be repaired, but it sounds like we should not expect the actual repair itself to be reimbursed by FEMA, only the temporary measures.
Mr. Dolan?
Through the mayor to Mr. Sumner. So that's not what I intended to convey. FEMA has processes for emergency repairs and for a more deliberate process for permanent repairs. And the second more deliberate process assumes that the temporary measures are removed when you make the permanent repair. So In concept, there's funding available for the temporary repair, then for removal of the temporary repair, and then for the permanent repair. So all of those things are fundable under FEMA's programs as long as you comply with all of the stipulations that are associated with that, those processes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nolan. The Palmer Pool, who could, when is that scheduled to be started, the total rebuild?
I'm going to have Director Phillips come up and address the rebuild of Palmer Pool, and also to when we'll hear eventually on when that may be back open.
Did I understand that there was some damage in the earthquake with the Palmer Pool? I guess, Mr.
Good afternoon, Eric Phillips, Community Development Director. As far as the damages from the earthquake, the inspections are being conducted today. I have not got any reports back yet as far as whether we're going to be able to open or whether there's going to be further repairs required on the pools. I should know by the end of today, but right now I do not know. And we have the Palmer Pool slated to be demoed when the Wasilla Pool project is completed. And I believe that's going to be this this summer, this fall, or of next year.
I thought it was April at one point in time.
I'm not 100% sure when it's slated, but I thought it was, yeah, it could be as early as this spring, but it's not going to be, we're not going to work on that until the Wasilla project's completely done.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mayfield?
Yeah, through the mayor to Director Phillips, can you also give me a rundown of what's, what kind of damage we have at the Big Lake Library and what our ETA as far as reopening that might be?
The Big Lake Library is on the same schedule as the Palmer Pool. We have inspectors going out there today. There was some concern about some walls possibly being bowed. I don't know if that's the case, but by the end of today, we will know. And I'll send out something when I do find out.
Okay, thank you. Anything else, Assembly members? Senator Sykes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to clarify, if I added up the figures right, that we're asking to transfer funds from three different accounts that total $14.215 million approximately. That's the case, just so everybody understands what we're doing.
I think so. Any questions about the amounts? Doesn't appear to be so. Any further debate on Senator Sumner?
Through the mayor to the manager, do you project to have, at what point do you project to need this emergency, the $6 million for infrastructure emergency funding for the borough? Will that?
That will really kind of depend on what we find going forward. You know, and there's going to be a big question for us that's going to come back to the Assembly on, do we temporary repair Vine Road and just to keep the nuisance off of that, or do we rebuild it and what time we rebuild it? And so that's something that I'm going to come back and engage with the, you know, with the Assembly on. Because we have some options on, you know, do we repair, do we not repair, do we replace? And so that could happen pretty quickly if that is requested by the Assembly. I know, you know, we have been criticized because, you know, on day four, you know, we have not taken action on some of these things while we're going through trying to do the examination. So a lot of this is going to be dependent on how quickly the Assembly wants us to move on these repairs. Certainly they're for that. So I can't tell you. We'll get the information as soon as we can, and then we'll make some recommendations and determinations and give you some options, especially on the timing. I think this is a hard time for construction during the middle of winter. Now, I understand because of Anchorage, we have an asphalt plant kind of fired up, but it's a whole lot, as you know, it's a whole lot better to construct in spring and summer than it is in December. But those type of decisions will be coming back to you. And our thought is when you want us to run, we'll be able to run if we have an opportunity, use funds available to do so.
Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I think it's important for us to send a strong message to the public that we are an organization who can act with agility in responding to this emergency. We've got some road damage out there. We've got some building damage. We obviously have some school damages that we need to take care of quickly. And by putting this money in an account that makes it available to the manager to spend appropriately, we allow him some agility in being able to respond to the emergency and conduct the repairs that are necessary. So I hope that everybody will agree that this is a necessary step. I do think we owe it to the public to make sure that this money is available and that we're moving with some dispatch in addressing this emergency. Thank you.
Senator Sumner.
Through the mayor to the manager, I just wanted to follow up on that. You said you were going to come back to the assembly. If this money is appropriated to the emergency fund, you don't actually have to discuss the expenditures with us or have our approval. Do you have in mind $6 million of obligations that you want to put this money towards?
So first, you are correct. By putting it in there gives me the authority to make purchasing decisions with those dollars. So that is correct. It is also correct that I work for the assembly, and there's going to be some options on does it make sense to move forward now, or is it better to wait later, that I will have a discussion with the assembly. I guess the third part of that question is, if you authorize this today, am I going to obligate $6 million tomorrow? I think that answer is no. I don't have the information or the plan at this point in time, but this gives us the opportunity to move as we see necessary.
Senator McKee.
I just wanted to make sure that I understand the amount of money that is going to be available. If we take all the reserves, including the $10 million that the school district has, it will be $24 million available for expenditure right away, right?
Mr. Moosey?
So the $10 million, if it's decided by the school board, they have control of that. So what we have done, and I think because where the money's coming from, there's going to be $6 million available for road and facility infrastructure of the Mat-Su Borough proper, our organization. The other funding, which is what, $8 million? Approximately $8 million, will be for schools. Specifically for schools, and there is and more than just rebuilding a building or fixing a building. There, you know, I mean, Mr. Fault talked about, I think maybe a dozen portables have to be brought in, you know, temporary. There's going to be some expenses for that to get them there. Also, too, at the understanding that I think the communities, you know, with kids saying, where's my kid going to go back to school? How soon can he get back in that school? Is going to be an issue for, you know, for the school board and on a community. And this is, and with the understanding, we have to spend to get reimbursed from any type of insurance issue with buildings. And is this going to be the same thing for FEMA? So yes, I mean, we could go out tomorrow if there was a need up to that dollars with the consent of the school board for that amount of money. That is correct, sir.
Senator Sumner.
Through the mayor to the manager. I see here on this reserve fund balances that we have $1 million in the emergency response reserve fund. Was that money not obligated for the hacking event? And we had not yet appropriated more money to that fund. if I'm not mistaken.
So I'd like to have Barbara Baumgartner come and address that specifically.
I'm Barbara Baumgartner, comptroller at the borough through the mayor. So the $1 million of the emergency response was not used for the cyber attack. We had legislation that has been brought forward for to take some money out of the two of the other reserve funds for the cyber attack, and that's $1 million. So that $1 million that's in the emergency response, those funds have not been used yet.
Thank you very much for doing this report on the reserves. So this total number would be $34 million, is what you're saying, 904? On your report, there's $1 million going to the cyber, so this would be the total reserves would be $34 million.
I already deducted that $1 million out of there.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
But that hasn't completely gone through yet. So, but that's with the $1 million out.
Thanks for the report too.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else, Assembly members? Assemblymember Leonard, are you still with us? Any questions or comments?
Yes, Mayor. Just a very quick question on the procurement delegation during an emergency. The manager will still have to go through, if we're doing contracts for road repair, through our procurement policies. Is that correct? And follow them.
You came in a little bit broken, Senator Leonard. Could you?
Yes.
I believe Assemblymember Leonard's question is whether or not the manager had to go through the procurement process even using these funds. And the answer is, if it's emergency repairs, he does not have to go through the competitive bid process or get assembly approval to spend the funds. And so when you're talking about, like, you know, shoring up the Vine Road and things like that. But then to go out and have, you know, money sitting so that you can then turn around and issue bids and award contracts for, let's say, the full repair of Vine Road, that would be something that would have to come back to the Assembly. Even though, you know, the pot of money is being set aside now, that allows purchasing and capital projects to identify the funds that they're then potentially going to use. That would have to be presented here to the Borough Assembly for award, because there'd be no emergency for the full rebuild, but certainly shoring it up. The amounts that Director Dolan talked about would be immediately available, because we're in the declared emergency right now. Does that answer your question, Assemblymember Leonard?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, very good question. Assemblymember Sumner?
Oh, actually, that actually answered my question. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Any questions? Okay. Let's take a look at Ordinance 18-112 as far as passing. Any objection to passing Ordinance 18-112 by any Assemblymember? Any objection, Assemblymember Leonard?
No, Mayor.
Okay. Assemblymember Sumner?
Mr. Mayor, I'd object just so we can have a little bit more debate on this. If we can.
He wants to keep debate open and not vote at this time. I don't have any problems with that. So go ahead, Senator Sumner.
Through the mayor to the manager, I just wanted to ask what specifically you see the advantage, since you don't have in mind appropriations or obligations for this money as of yet. What's the specific advantage of having $6 million versus, say, $3 million when you have $400,000 in projects that you would obligate it for at this time?
I cannot point anything to you specifically on whether that be an advantage or disadvantage. By having it done this way, if we were going to use Vine Road as an example, we would have, because when we bring ordinances for spending to you, we have to identify where those funds are coming from. And so those would be eligible right then to come from them if you approve that. I'm going to be completely transparent, which I always try to do, but we had a 6.095 from the reserve match that was not approved by the assembly, and it was, okay, we're going to need funds. This is easy. Let's put it here and request those dollars. We, you know, it's the same thing. We got the numbers of those two other funds. One was the bonding interest that really was not available until you do this for the schools. And then also, too, for the site selection, which is money that we jointly go out with the schools and buy property for future schools. We felt that was readily available. Like I said, I don't have $6 million or anticipate $6 million expenditures directly, but that was my reasoning before. It was available. It's an emergency. This is quick to move it forward. If it was $4 million, I would have moved $4 million and tried not to capture two, because we're trying to do really kind of speed. Be ready for what we need on, you know, working through this. And certainly we talked about this about a couple days ago. I'm wrong?
I'm talking to the mayor.
Oh, you're talking to the mayor. Okay.
He wanted to speak.
Okay. We're not involved in this conversation there. If it was only four in that fund, I'll be honest with you, I would not try to find two more million, but is available for this. I put it in here for your consideration. That is the main reason. It was available. We have an emergency. It was easy to slide it over and ask for this.
Cool. The gentleman from FEMA yesterday said, especially particularly on Vine, they went and looked at it with the two senators. Their advice was to make it very specific, to not guess on the numbers, and they weren't going to refund. The total amount was what I heard, but we will probably get money back. It's not going to be fast. I know up in Montana Creek was 4 or 5 years in that road, wasn't it, to get the money back from FEMA? Mr. Dolan?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, we're still owed money from FEMA for the 2012 floods, and we're still working through
so
that.
So it's a very fast process, Mr. Sumner. So, Mr. Mayfield?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. You know, I'm not quite sure that assembly members are totally briefed on the extent of damage. So just some of my observations from the other day. I drove around my district, and obviously Vine, which has become kind of a national poster child for earthquakes, was extremely damaged. Looked like somebody had dropped a bomb on it, and it just mushroomed out to the side. Some very extensive work is needed there. There was also damage on West Susitna to a much less degree. But still damaged, and will take some time to get that repaired. There was extensive damage on Port McKenzie Road. I was out there the other day. I actually saw Director Dolan out there at that time. I think Northern Asphalt was making about 8 repairs on the first 8 miles of Port McKenzie Road, and we're doing a great job, actually. But that was just basically to cut out the pavement and level the ground, put in gravel so that the plow trucks didn't break their blades as they went over it in anticipation of the snow that we were supposed to have. And then at mile 15.5 of the Point McKenzie Road, while that is passable, one lane passable, the other side of the road was extensively damaged, probably the second worst damaged road in the borough. In addition, there was damage down the Settlers Bay area, some damage, although minor, on Johnson Road, and Hawk Lane, I think, is in the city of Houston. But those were just road damages that I observed. So I don't really think that we can anticipate that level of work that needs to be done, at least permanent repairs, obviously, will come in less than $6 million. It may. I mean, obviously, I don't build roads. That's more Terry's bailiwick. But just looking at it, it definitely looked like that amount would not cover it. So I anticipate that the manager will be coming back to us for more funding, but setting aside this money now neither hurts nobody. It certainly doesn't hurt anybody, but it does give us the availability of funds immediately to do the work that we need to do and make sure that we have, you know, that money set aside. So so I hope you can, you know, certainly the damages may not necessarily be in your districts, but it heavily impacted mine, and I would certainly hope that you would be willing to move forthwith to apply some money to those repairs.
Senator McKee?
Look, I understand what that we've had a severe emergency. The thing that makes me uneasy is that everybody is saying, well, we haven't completed our inspection. We really don't know what the damage is. It troubles me that we're moving here briskly ahead without any information again. That gets government into trouble a whole lot of the time. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, we're putting the money out there, $24 million. I'm not looking at the school district had better come up with that $10 million. Okay, it is a reserve for an emergency. Okay, so I'm just uneasy about the fact that we don't have any information at all.
Mr. Moosey and Mr. Dolan, please.
Yes, so we do not have detailed or final information, but the indication that we have is Vine Road is a $4 million repair, $3.5 to $4 million. I think that is a very good guess from people who are in the construction industry. However, I do not have a quote. I don't know if we can do it for 3.2 or 4.1. I want to kind of state that we have a good indication that there's going to be some significant expense. It's not that we don't have the dollars. I mean, you know, we have a middle school that is in serious need of a repair. We have a good idea on what that may cost. We just don't have the detail, and we're not ready to say it's going to cost X number of dollars yet until we have a professional. So I think from our experience and having professionals in consulting with us on this, and having our own staff have engineering and experience background, we have a very strong indication.
So, Mr. Dolan, on Vine Road, you're doing, I just want to make sure I'm clear, you're doing a temporary patch right now to get us into a better road building season next summer. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, what we're doing is we're eliminating essentially the danger to the public initially. So these giant slabs that folks are climbing down in between for photographs and stuff like that, we're removing that hazard, and then we're placing a temporary gravel road to connect so traffic can safely pass in two directions.
Right over the same?
Yes, sir.
Straight line. And then we'll get to a point where we have to do the rebuild.
Yes, sir, and that's a more deliberate process, and Mr. Billifer could talk to you about that. He's already examining and doing the surveying that's necessary, and they'll get a professional design. We'll get a bid in front of the assembly, just like we would normally do for a big design, and we'll ultimately get a construction bid in front of the assembly for approval for construction of that project once that time comes.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Fope, on Houston Middle School, when will you know whether or not it's a demolish and rebuild or what you're going to do?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I asked that question of the adjusters this morning. We have claims adjusters that flew in from out of state with engineers and cost estimators and consultants. And based on their early assessment of the building, they don't know the extent of the damages in terms of total dollars. They shared that it was significant, but it may be months before we know exactly how we're going to proceed with either rebuilding walls. There's full walls that are compromised, CMU walls in the gym, in the two-story classroom area. It is the damage is extensive. For anyone who's toured the facility, we did do two tours over the weekend. And we had to get engineers to sign off on the fact that it was okay for us to do those tours and it was safe for us to be in there. The aftershocks have further compromised the facility, so it's not as though we're just waiting on structural engineers to determine the state of the building as it is. It's currently is dynamic as we have continued to have aftershocks in that region. We're noticing cracks and depressions in the floor that didn't exist the day before. And so we are seeing cracks and fissures more fully develop, and we're having to get engineers to tell us that it's okay and safe to have people in the building on a daily basis. But it will be, the timeline will largely be dependent, and this is new to us, this process. It'll be dependent on what's assessed to be the damage, any discovery, and maybe they have to do minor demolition on certain areas to actually see the steel and the joints and the structure behind walls. But as the structural engineers go through that process, then they'll rely on other engineers and architects to redesign and strengthen whatever has been compromised, so it's up to the acceptable seismic standard and safe to reoccupy. I asked if it could be potentially a total loss. I asked that of the adjusters this morning. Their response to me was that they didn't anticipate that at this time, but that they did not foresee a way that entire walls would be rebuilt either, and that that would be largely dependent on what engineers and architects come in to do and suggest as a remediation effort. So it's still within the realm of possibilities, but it's extensive.
It's a 1985 building?
Yes, sir.
What's it worth prior to the shock?
That's a great question. I don't have the statement of values in front of me. It looks like Manager Moosey has that.
Moosey?
The value the insurance company had on Houston Middle is $32
million. Prior to the shock?
I think that's a safe assumption, yes.
And what we're looking at in terms of reconstruction of that facility, if we did have to rebuild the entire school, at $400 per square foot for a 90,000 square foot building, you're looking at least $36 million to rebuild that facility. We have a policy of $25 million. That does not take into account $36 million is a rough estimate, and it doesn't take into account the cost of demolition. So that $36 million would just be ground up and a rough estimate on new construction.
But you're only a million short with that $10 million reserve.
Okay. And that'll be a good conversation for our school board.
Yes, there yes. We go. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Mr. Spraplis, did you have something?
I know usually after the meetings you take off, I need to talk to you about something you just talked about with the insurance. I don't want to talk publicly about it, but stick around.
After the fact?
After the
okay.
meeting.
Okay, nothing right now. Okay.
Summer, did you have something for the...
If Houston Middle is a total loss, demolish and rebuild, would it be rebuilt at the same site? On the same swamp?
Things have not been determined at this point, but we have no evidence that that's the site is what compromised the facility. What the structural engineers have determined at this point is the way that the walls were built and the reinforcement or lack thereof within the CMU walls. They haven't cited the foundation as the reason.
Is there any reason in your mind that the schools should be underperforming residential structures out in the Mat-Su when they're built for a higher risk category?
Through the chair, our schools are designed to be emergency shelters, so they do have to meet certain seismic standards in terms of building codes, and that is done in terms of whatever was designed at the time is based on the structural engineers, the code at the time, and the architects at the time that designed this facility. It was 1985. What I can tell you today is that the buildings that were built by this community in the last 5 years fared very well. So Reddington and Denina, that were actually closer to the epicenter of the earthquake, had very little damage. So I think in terms of just us being good stewards of facilities and kind of the project design and the deliberateness with that goes into that from our capital projects department here at the borough. They did a nice job with this last bond project.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Anything else, some members? Do people want to vote officially or any objection?
I would move to amend the dollar figure for the appropriation from the paving and calcium chloride fund to the earthquake 2018 borough facilities and infrastructure emergency response fund to a dollar figure of $2 million.
Madam Clerk, did you get that? Go ahead, real loud, so kind of quiet.
I would move to amend the $6,095,473 to $2 million and introduce for new business for public discussion the remainder of the appropriation.
Everybody get the amendment? The emergency response fund project, the $6 million went to $2
million. Yeah.
Was there an addition beyond that?
I guess that would be separate. Sorry. Okay. Introduce new business.
Just want everybody understand amendment. See down in the fourth sentence, $6 million to $2 million. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The same figures also show up on page 3, so both figures should be changed.
It'll go throughout the legislation if the amendment passes. So we have an amendment on line 4, $6,095,473 to $2 million. Senator Mayfield?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask the maker of the motion, what's the benefit to our citizens to do that reduction at this time? Is it, control of money, or what is it?
Senator Sunner?
If I could speak to the amendment, I don't see the borough manager said he doesn't have in mind $6 million of obligations for this money. So I don't see that we can't have, public notice and a meeting to appropriate the remainder to the emergency fund as a matter of good governance.
And Madam Clerk.
So in reference to the emergency ordinance that's before you, the state law does require that it come back, be introduced. The same piece of legislation you guys passed today has to come back and be introduced and set for public hearing. So that is part of the process when you do an emergency ordinance. And I don't think you guys have been told that. And I'll double check with Mr. Moosey, I do believe it's coming back for introduction on December 18th for public hearing on that first meeting in January. I think it's January 15th. So there is a process later on where the emergency ordinance has to come back, set for introduction, and then set for public hearing.
What are we doing then today if it has to come back for public hearing and all that on the 18th? What's the purpose of today?
Well, we already had some obligations, and Mr. Dolan heard about Mr. Scrapper.
Emergency ordinances only last for 60 days. What you have before you is an appropriation ordinance. These monies are sitting in reserves. They can't be spent. So what you're going to do is you're going to appropriate them into a fund to allow the manager to spend. Within the next 60 days, if he doesn't come back with another ordinance to keep the money there, whatever's left is going to go back to the reserve.
That's
so when the clerk is saying it's going to come back before you, what's going to happen is the day of the meeting, you're going to get an updated report from finance on what's been spent and what's left. And then you're going to decide whether to keep the appropriation there or let it all lapse back to the reserves. Okay. You have to, because this ordinance is only good for 60 days.
We're talking about December 18th.
That's because this ordinance before you right now will last for 60 days if it passes today, which means the beginning of February, the appropriations will all expire and go back to the reserve. Whatever was left would go back to the reserve. If the manager intends on keeping down this path and using this money, making it available so that Mr. Dolan or Mr. Bilifer kind of know what they're dealing with and the school district in terms of what will potentially be available, he's going to have to come back to you with a permanent appropriation ordinance, because this appropriation will lapse.
But what?
She said it's coming back to us on December 18th.
An ordinance to introduce a permanent appropriation, because this appropriation is not permanent.
So on December 18th, the Assembly could say, nope, you only got $2 million.
On its December 18th, you can either set for public hearing on January 15th or not set for, it will be for introduction only on December 18th. On January 15th, then you will be able to vote whether to make a permanent appropriation or not, if the manager follows that timeline.
And the manager could give us a report under every Assembly meeting on the manager's report of what their expenditures are. So.
Okay, then I would speak in support of Assembly Member Sumner's proposition to reduce this to $2 million.
Okay, we're speaking about the amendment, so Senator Mayfield.
And I'm going to speak against the amendment only from the amount side of things. I want the manager to be empowered to fix the Big Lake Library. I want him to be able to fix the port building. I want him to be able to fix as many roads that he can get fixed in the meantime. And I would offer a secondary amendment, if it would please the Assembly, that let's go ahead and modify the amount to $4 million, and that will hopefully mollify. Let me amend that. I'd like to go ahead and put it at $3 million, and that should give us enough emergency money to do the things that we need to do at this point in time, and then certainly we can take up further legislation when the time comes. I understand that some Assembly members are worried about money being spent frivolously. At least that's the air that I'm getting. And
clarity on the motion: it's a motion to strike $2 million and insert $3 million. That's a secondary amendment. Senator Sykes?
Just a point of procedure. Does the amendment have the same requirements for voting as the entire ordinance?
Mr. Spropoulos, now it's four votes, correct?
Well, Mr. Mayor, state law doesn't say that it requires three quarters. So what the state law says, it requires three quarters majority to pass, does not say to amend it. It says it may be amended. So because it's silent, the normal rule would apply, which would be four votes to amend it. But
okay. Got that? Any objection to Mr. Mayfield's secondary amendment, striking two and adding three? Ms. Summer, Assembly Member Leonard, are you still there?
I am there.
Did you keep track of everything that's?
I'm keeping track of it, and I guess I'm going to, can I speak now, Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Sorry breaking in over the teleconference, but I do have a couple comments on the amendments. I believe that we should stay with the $6 million because of the fact that I don't want to tie our manager's hands. We are in the middle of an earthquake. We're not sure if the earthquakes are done yet. And I trust our staff and our procurement process to ensure the safety of the funds. And anyway, I guess I would object to the amendment for both things.
So you're objecting to $2 million or $3 million reduction?
Yes, I'm
Senator Sumner, then we're going to vote.
If I could speak to the amendment, the borough only has a fixed amount of money. If we spend all this money down or obligate it, and then we have a larger earthquake, we don't have the money then to do that. I don't understand the rush to transfer all $6 million to the emergency fund when we don't have in mind projects to obligate this money towards at this point. We could always have another emergency meeting during this emergency and appropriate that money at that point. Thank you.
Okay, on the secondary amendment, let's go ahead and vote officially. Use your machines, and Madam Clerk can get to Assemblyman Leonard. So the secondary amendment is to delete 2 million, add, make it 3 million. So go ahead and vote, please.
Assemblymember Leonard.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it has passed with Assemblymember Bobie and Leonard in support, or opposed, excuse me. Bear with me, let me get this.
So the secondary amendment to delete to 2 million and add 3 million has passed. So that's the number we're at now, is 3 million.
On the primary.
We're on the primary amendment, which is 3 million, correct, Madam Clerk?
Correct.
Let's go ahead and vote on 3 million reduction from 6,095,473. Go ahead and vote, please.
Mayor?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can I speak to the primary amendment then again?
Go ahead, please. I don't think there's objection. Go ahead, please.
You know, I understand what Assemblymember Sumner is stating. But again, I think we have this in a reserve fund, and moving it over the whole 6 million over to the emergency fund doesn't take away any protection to that as we have more earthquakes. I think we're stating that we're putting this 6 million into emergency fund for the earthquake. And I would still support the original ordinance over the amendment. Thank you.
Everybody's already voted. Senator Leonard, could you vote on the primary amendment?
We are on the primary amendment. The other assembly members have voted electronically, Mr. Leonard. Assemblymember Leonard, however, it hasn't been announced yet because we need to have your vote first.
No.
Thank you. And Mr. Mayor, this one also passed with Assembly Members Sykes and Leonard opposed.
Now on Ordinance 18-112. Any objection to passing 18-112? Senator Leonard?
No, Mayor.
Okay. So, Aiden. Ordinance 18-112 is dispensed and is passed. Yes, Madam Clerk.
Resolution 18-079, an emergency resolution declaring that the local disaster emergency issued on November 30th, 2018 will remain in effect until January 15th, 2019.
Senator Mayfield, go ahead and move that. And
thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to adopt Resolution 18-079.
Any objection to passing the Resolution 18-079? Taking the local disaster emergency issued on November 30th, 2018 will remain in effect until January 15th, 2019. Any objection from any assembly member? Any objection, Assemblyman Leonard?
No, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. So Resolution 18-079 passes. Madam Clerk, 18-080.
An emergency resolution providing a waiver of individual landfill fees.
Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to adopt Resolution 18-080, and I'd like to speak to it if I may.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Many people were affected by the earthquake throughout the borough and into Anchorage. However, you know, this particular legislation just is only in the borough. But I'm asking that the individual landfill rates or fees be waived for a period of time as originally drafted till December 8th. There's lots of folks out there who've lost food, lots of folks out there who have lost their knickknacks, that kind of thing, and there's some structural damage. And all of that created debris that has caused an additional financial strain on families who need to dispose of that. So this is a very popular request that has been made by a number of individuals borough-wide. I would encourage you to approve it. And I'd also like to go ahead and move an amendment on it. The original legislation shows December 8th as being the expiration date. I'd like to go ahead and move to move that till December 9th. That would be Sunday, December 9th, to give families the opportunity to visit transfer sites or landfill and dispose of the waste that was created by the earthquake. Thanks.
Okay, so there's a motion to amend from to December 9th, the expiration date. Any objection? You want to object?
To the amendment?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would object. Okay. Through the mayor to the manager, do we have any idea what this will cost as far as increased dump fees going forward?
I'm going to have Mr. Dolan address, but because we don't know essentially how many people will use this, it's just going to be a swag. But Mr. Dolan, can you give us your thoughts on that question?
Through the mayor to Mr. Sumner, I agree with the manager. We don't know the magnitude of this cost. My assessment is there is sufficient revenue in the enterprise fund to likely to fund this. So I guess if that answers your question.
Well, let's dispense with Mr. Sumner.
Through the mayor to Mr. Dolan. When you say there's money in the enterprise fund to pay for this, how are we actually sitting in that enterprise fund as far as expenditures versus budgeted to this point, adding in the revenue? Are we ahead? Are we behind?
So right now, we anticipate, at least from our original budget figures, having approximately $1 million more in revenue this year than expenses. Now, the reason for that is that we have large payments that will come due on loans that we took to construct cells. And what happens with those loans is while the construction is underway, the borrowed amount of money collects interest, but we don't have to start paying it until 1 year after the construction is complete. So in a normal year, the payment on the loan might be, say, $100,000. On the first payment, it may be more like $300,000 or $400,000. So there is extra money right now in the enterprise fund. I think it's unlikely that I'll have to ask the manager for additional funds. Even with this hit on revenue that would be caused by this this free dump period.
Okay, let's take care of the amendment. The amendment's just changing the date from one to December 9th. So is there any objection to that amendment? Just change it to December 9th. We got an objection, so go ahead and vote. And then
Assemblymember Leonard.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Sumner opposed.
Now back on the main 18080. Any further discussion? Senator Mayfield?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that this is a family issue. We had an emergency that caused damage and destruction to homes and to personal property, and people feel victimized. It's not anybody's fault that we had the earthquake, but they feel victimized. And so, just giving them this minor allocation of letting them dump their damaged debris is something that will give a lot of them some peace of mind and some faith in our borough government. Right now, the input that I'm getting from citizens is that, you know, we should have done this on day one. And it's likely that I will, in the future here, be sponsoring legislation to empower the manager under an emergency declaration to make this decision himself without coming to the borough. But that's for another day. But I think it's important for our citizens, and I think we would be very short-sighted to not allow them this one act of decency, to allow them to dispose of their damage, things that were valuable to them, get rid of that spoiled food, and start rebuilding their lives. This is one little thing. It's not a major issue, except to the people that it impacts. So thanks.
Senator Bobby, you've been pretty quiet. I'm glad to see you.
I'm going to speak in favor of this. This is an issue that my district has actually spoken up about in great numbers. Yeah, there is a cost with picking up this. There's also a cost with not funding this. And I'm pretty sure there are people in my district who won't dispose of their items properly without making this free, if only for a few days. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Sykes, then we're going to vote on this. This is pretty simple.
Yeah, thanks. If you hadn't made the amendment, I would have, because I think that it is our mission here is to help with the public welfare and health, and this is a disaster. It's something we can do, and I think we should do it.
Okay, any objection to an emergency resolution providing a waiver of individual landfill fees to December 9th? You want to object? Okay, so there's objections, so go ahead and vote, please.
Assemblymember Leonard.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it failed. We needed 6 votes. We have Assemblymember Leonard, Sykes, Bovee, and Mayfield in support, and Assemblymember Sumner and McKee opposed.
Want to reconsider that, Assemblymember McKee?
Yep.
Okay. Just checking. Mr. Grinch. Okay. We are at the comments. So, start with staff. Anything further? Mr. Kropos? Mr. Moosey, you have some notes?
Yes, just please give me a second here. I did mention that we met with the insurance folks today, had a good meeting. They are going to be having quite a few of their staff. In fact, I think they have like 12 inspectors here up for the insurance company to kind of help us through. They're going to be here in the next couple of weeks. They were quick. They were very responsive. But one thing I'm very pleased at is it's just us. They will be working and won't be have their intentions divided. Their attention, I should say, divided between anybody else. We are the only body that has this company for earthquake insurance. So given everything, I'm happy to do so. We bought the cyber insurance just because we thought it was a good idea, never expecting that to happen. But we did anticipate a potential earthquake where we live. And so we did have the insurance. I think we've had it for a few years. But we're moving on that. The ice skating rink has been closed today. We had to do an inspection. I didn't report that yesterday. I did not know until this morning it was done. We don't know if it's major, but we're concerned about the safety of the public. That's all I have to report.
Madam Clerk? Nothing there? Okay, Senator McKee, comments?
No mention has been made of any damage to the port. Was the port damaged at all?
Mr. Moosey has a report. He gave one yesterday to the...
Yes. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yesterday afternoon, we had the divers go down and check out the wall. It held. And I'm thrilled that after this last repair, it held. It's in good shape. However, we have the two high-mast lights. One base sunk a little bit, and that's going to be had to address. And another one is tilted a little bit. And so we're concerned about 6 inches, but when it's, I don't know, 80 feet in the air, 6 inches is a lot. The one thing I need to also report to you is, and I wish I had to report this to you, sir, but the conveyor system has, we've noticed some issues. We contacted the owner who is responsible for that. They sent somebody down there today to inspect, and we're going to be hearing from them shortly. So as far as lights, it's an issue. The port, saved. Conveyor, we'll know soon.
So that'd be MPI and the building, the building there?
Yes, we had an inspector come and look at the building. We do have some cracks in drywall, but it is structurally safe.
Okay, Senator Sykes, comments?
I think we had to take the action that we took. I'm glad we've done it, and I know that we've prepared to spend millions of dollars, but I do have one little piece of good news. I have here for, on behalf of the borough, $6,605.56. It's our capital credit check from MEA, which I accepted on behalf of the borough.
How did you get a hold of it?
At the Wasilla Chamber of Commerce. So I'll forward this.
How much was that again?
$6,605.56, and we are the second behind the school district as the largest customer of MEA.
I think the legal department has an outstanding bill for $6,600.
So how much did the school district get, Mr. Polk? You don't know? We're after it, by the way. All right. Senator Bobby?
Yeah, I just want to take a minute and thank our emergency responders. Friday was as uneventful as possible in no small part to their selfless dedication to their jobs. I know a number of them left their own homes in disarray and worse, put in 18 plus hour days, and then came home to beds they couldn't sleep in because they couldn't find them. Thank you. You're wonderful.
Senator Mayfield?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also want to echo Assemblymember Bovee's thanks and recognition of our emergency personnel. As far as talking about transfer sites, we sincerely let down our people in the borough. I cannot believe that assembly members voted against that when we have the opportunity to serve our people in the time of an emergency, and we fail to do so, then we did not perform our duty. So that's about all I have to say about that this evening. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Leonard, are you still with us for comments?
Yes, Mayor. I'll keep this brief because teleconferencing, this will be the last meeting I ever do it this way, but I want to, as everyone has, thank the staff for everything they've done during this emergency, and also just, again, give my thanks to all the first responders and all the hard work that they've put in, you know, working 24 hours a day, practically. And I appreciate our emergency staff and our director, Otto, and thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mayor.
Very good. Thank you. Senator Sumner, comments?
I'd just like to thank our emergency responders, like everybody else. I think they did an amazing job throughout this. I did vote against the free dump days. We're facing some extremely expensive bills here. I don't think we need to be doing that. I don't feel that we've failed borough residents by not offering them a service for free. We're offering them the same service we always offer, which is dump service for a cost. Everything costs money. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's well said. And, you know, and I And Assemblymember McKee, you're the only one I think could take a Grinch joke from me, so I appreciate that. You, I really do. And so, but we did pass the two ordinances that were very important tonight. One was modified down to three main in that one sentence, and we moved the date of the emergency declaration to January 15th. So there's substantial work done here tonight, and I do appreciate staff. And Mr. Feather, I don't know if you realize how much I do appreciate all the work that you did in this emergency from the time the 7-0 took off and things like that. So never mistake that with, you know, just trying to shore up public relations, I think is a worthy thing for the borough. And so we'll get there. All the other staff members, I was really appreciative to see so many staffers here tonight to listen to this report. Thank you, Mr. Fulp, for coming over from the school district. I learned a lot too. And Mr. Dolan, as usual, I am very pleased to know that there's equipment out on Vine Road at this very time as we speak, because that was one of the biggest safety issues we possibly could have. People run up down that road and climbing in there, so I really appreciate that. And I guess it is just a patch, but we'll deal with it later. So with that, when is our next meeting, Madam Clerk?
Our next meeting, and I'm going to hand out the agenda before you guys leave, is the Joint Assembly School Board meeting next Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Okay, next Tuesday. So at this point in time, what is it, at 3:50?
3:39.
3:39, we'll be adjourned.